Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. This is Chris Miles here, your host, teaching you how to find and free up cash, how to keep it, and how to make more of it today so you can have more freedom, more prosperity, better quality of life right now, not 30 or 40 years from now where you're hoping and praying that something will work out. And boy, oh boy, you're going to love this show today because it's going to address just that very thing at the very heart of the matter. I'm going to actually take on the typical financial advising and traditional financial advice right here. So before we get started, though, let me just remind you that be sure to subscribe to our show here on iTunes. And also remember, too, that you can go visit our website, www.moneyripples.com. And I would specifically ask you to check out our blog, specifically the topic that says retirement is a lie. This is one that is going to expand upon that topic even more. So, oh boy, we're going to have so much fun, aren't we? The topic of the show today is, are you sure, are you really sure that you're doing what's best with your savings and your investments? And how do you know? So some of you, if you don't know my backstory, if you haven't listened to the very first episode that we talked about here, I actually started out about 13 years ago as a traditional financial advisor. I started out in that industry. I intended to become a business coach. But I knew that if I were going to train people in business, I should have a business of my own. And that's what got me into the financial advising industry. I found an opportunity and I took it. And I did that for 4 years. And I came to one basic conclusion is that there's just no way that that's going to work. That model does not work. It has not worked yet and will continue to not work into the future. That is my claim. And that is exactly what I witnessed. I've seen people with, and this has even been true even after I left. I left in 2006. I only did that for 4 years. I said, that's it. I'm done. So beginning of 2006, I left. What's awesome is by the middle, about June or July of 2006, I was able to have enough money to retire, not because of the investments that I was recommending to people from being a financial advisor. It was actually doing the opposite of what I was trained to do. And so for you, those of you that are out there today, I'm specifically addressing those of you that, you know, you might have a lot of savings in place. Maybe you have some savings sitting on the sidelines. Maybe you got some IRAs and 401ks or Roth IRAs or SEPs or Simples. You know, or maybe you've got college savings plans. You might be in Canada. You might have, you know, your retirement plans up there as well that I've had clients have as well. And, you know, there's a lot of possible variations here. But this is specifically for those of you that maybe you have resources. Maybe you have money. Or maybe there's money you don't realize is even there that it could be utilized and used to your benefit. And so that's where I'm going to address that today, because the thing is, I address you because you're going to be a target for financial advisors. If you've got money sitting on the sidelines or money in other type of plans, other type of retirement plans or other type of vehicles like that, you are going to be a target for financial advisors. And I'm telling you that financial advising does not work. This is why I had to leave in March 2006. I said, I cannot stay in integrity and teach this anymore because it just doesn't work. And the fact remains that millionaires don't believe it either. Those that are wealthy do the opposite of what traditional financial advice teaches. For example, do you know that most financially wealthy people don't believe in diversification? They think it's ridiculous. In fact, Carlos Slim, the richest man in the world, depending on the day, but he's been known to beat out Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, owns a telecommunications company down in Mexico. Carlos Slim said in an interview with Larry King, this was back in November of 2009, I believe. No, sorry, take that back, 2011. November 2011, he did an interview with Larry King. You can find it on YouTube. And on Larry King's show, he said that his dad told him not to diversify his money, not to put money in other things, to keep it in the business. He said, every time I took money out of my business and put it somewhere else, I lost money. He says, I like to take this money and use it because I can create more jobs, I can make the company bigger, and essentially help more people this way and bless more lives and become wealthier, essentially, right? And so it just has – so the wealthy do it complete opposite. So they don't diversify. They don't try to save for the long haul. They definitely have a long-term vision of what they want to accomplish, but they're trying to create wealth right now. They're creating wealth and freedom today. Also, the wealthy – we definitely don't like to invest in mutual funds. We don't like mutual funds at all. Now, the reason being is because mutual funds don't work, and we'll talk about that here too. Now, this kind of came up. This really spurred for me because I got a brand new client here. She's a leader in a direct sales company, so she makes really good money in that direct sales company. And as I was meeting with her, I said, "Okay, of all the money leaks that I see, the biggest one are in two areas: taxes, and then the money that your money or the, and then the places the things your money could be doing otherwise." She had a lot of equity. She had equity in her home. She had they had savings plans like 401(k)s. They had different savings and things like that. And I said, "You know what? This is probably your biggest money leak right here." Yeah, we'll free up awesome money with the taxes. We'll probably find, some of the ballpark of at least $10,000 to $15,000 in tax savings here in the next few weeks. But I said easily we can make at least another $20,000 or more a year, just with like doing real estate investing, for example. Just doing that, and that's not even talking about putting that money back in your business or doing some other things. That's just taking something that we know we could do easily with a certain amount of money. And that was thrilling for me. Definitely gave her a lot more hope, because even though she makes good money with a direct sales company, the thing is, you don't always want to have that be your only thing. You want to know that if there's ever a slow month, you've got other cash coming in that keeps you in abundance. And what I've noticed is that when you have other cash flow streams of income coming in, it's really easy to stay in an abundant place. Where some people, if they bank all on one stream of income, it's really tough. Now, if you're just starting out, you want to focus on just one. But if you're getting to the point where you are creating some income, you might want to look at other streams as well to help amplify what it is, whether it's inside your business or outside in other investments. And for those of you that don't have a business, real estate could be a very good option. In fact, you're going to have a show here in the future really soon that's got some great, great tips about that. So how do you know if you're doing the best thing with your money? I want to address that specifically right now, because one thing I mentioned is that there's a lot of numbers, and you'll see in the Retirement is Alive blog, I talk about what it takes to save to actually get that $60,000 a year lifestyle. Most people don't realize that. I quoted a Dave Ramsey Twitter post where he says, if over the next 40 years, if you get a 12% return on the market and you put in $100 a month, you'll have $1.174 million. He says everybody should retire a millionaire. Here's the problem. First off, he did the numbers wrong. It actually was 979,000 after 40 years, so close to a millionaire. Secondly, what would $1 million be worth in 40 years? Because very, very few financial people even address inflation. They might talk about it, but they don't really put in their numbers. This is one of the big things that got me out of being a financial advisor, because I was constantly running numbers. I'd say, well, let's do it with a 3% inflation rate, like the government says it is, which, by the way, is not true. The government has manipulated those numbers so they don't have to keep paying more into Social Security. Because if they do the raises on Social Security each year based on the Consumer Price Index, and they're afraid of running out of money, they're going to try to find ways to make that number look lower. So in reality, if they say 3%, it's closer to probably about 8 to 10% minimum. And you can verify that by going to shadowstats.com, where he talks about that in depth, where that was his business is figuring out inflation and helping companies project numbers and profitability. So anyways, that's one to check out on your own time. But to stay focused here, if inflation is going up that much, say it's only, even if it's just, say, 6% a year is all that inflation is. By the way, colleges and universities are raising their tuitions more than that per year. So 6% a year, that means it doubles every 12 years, using that rule of 72, right? Well, if you have 40 years, that means you've got to have about 10 times that amount to have that same lifestyle. So if you wanted $1 million and you wanted what feels like $1 million today, you would really have to have closer to at least just about $10 million to feel that. Now, by the way, you got to remember too, financial advisors are afraid that people are going to run out of money because they're living longer. So financial advisors are only saying to live off 3%. So if you only had $1 million saved up, you're living off $30,000 a year. Even if it's 10 million, remember, if that's to be the equivalent, it still feels like 30,000 a year. You have to save double, meaning you have to have like $20 million, right? That's in 40 years, less than 30, less than 20. But I did the numbers. I said, what would it take to do that to adjust for inflation? If you have 40 years to save, you need to save about $7,300, given that the market actually does not return 12%, by the way. It never has returned an actual 12%. Averages in small cap stocks have been pretty close to that, yes, but that's not the actual returns. And that's not also including fees. It's also not including taxes and everything else. When you factor that in, you're lucky to net 4 or 5% a year in the market. And so I did that. I did that based on, I think, the market returning 7%, I believe. It might have been 6%, but you can see that blog for details on that one. And so, in any case, the reality means that you have to be putting away about $7,000 a month, and for over 40 years to get that $60,000 a year lifestyle today. If you have 30 years, it's over $8,000. If you have 20 years, it's over $10,000. It gets worse and worse. And so when you're told and sold a bill of goods by financial advisors saying you'll be able to retire by putting away 10 or 20 or even 30%, which they're getting closer at least, I'm going to tell you that you're going to see more. I'm going to project here into the future. If you're listening to this 5, 10 years from now, you'll probably see this to be true, is that I project that you're going to hear more and more stories about how it's a fraud, how all this stuff about promising more. It's already happening now. There's already been 60-minute interviews, things on like this 401k a scam. There's been all kinds of news type of pieces that have been out investigating about what people are really able to get in retirement, how it's really been a lie. And it's discouraging to say the least, especially if you're banking on this. If you're trying to stuff your 401k, you cannot stuff it enough to even get a decent retirement. And you're going to see this more and more as baby boomers get to retirement, 5 to 10 years. This is going to be more big news stories, and it'll happen even faster if we have another dip in the market soon. That will happen as well, because that's what happened the last time. People started looking at more closely, saying, "My 401k is not even close to what I was hoping it would be." I've had several people tell me, "I wish it was. It's almost the same as it was 15 years ago. This is crazy. It's finally getting ahead of that from 15 years ago. Not even close to what's being projected on those numbers." And so I'm telling you this not to depress you, but to wake us up. That it's not going to work by doing the traditional stuff that's been taught you. And so when I ask you, like, who you've been listening to, I would guarantee it's coming from some financial institution or bank. Because if you listen to a financial advisor, they work for a financial institution. I know. I was trained by them. I know this for a fact. We learn everything from what's taught to us. And even if I learned it from someone inside the office at the firm I worked at, they got it from somebody in the company or got passed on. Even if you said you learned from your parents, well, who do they learn from? Usually people are self-interested, sometimes talking heads on TV that are paid by these financial institutions to say certain things. There are certain, there's a certain famous woman out there that talks about investing that's been paid by the FDIC to go and promote the FDIC and put money into banks. I mean, you have to follow the money. This is also why I left being a financial advisor, because I didn't want products and money like that to influence the way that I teach you today. I want to remain more pure in that advice, which is why I now have a consulting fee. You don't want to be in that category. You don't want to be that person listening to those people. Anybody you listen to, you'll realize that it's not working. And so if they're telling you to put money into IRAs or 401ks or into other retirement type of plans, you have to really question, why are they telling you to do this? Even if it's an accountant who doesn't sell this, I'll tell you, accountants actually know that IRAs and 401ks won't save you money in the future. Did you know that? Do you realize that they know that IRAs, I mean, think about it. You're not getting a tax break when you put money in an IRA or a 401k. You're just delaying your income for a later date. You're just delaying it, right? So as you start to delay this money and you say, okay, well, I'm going to push it off to a future date. We already talked about inflation being a problem. Even if the tax rates stay right where they are and say that you can live off of $60,000 a year, right? Now, if you think about that, even in the future, even 10 years from now, you might have to live off closer to $80,000 to $100,000 or more a year, and that might be cutting back. Well, even if you pulled out that much, you're going to be in a higher tax bracket because you're pulling out more, right? Because the more you pull out each year, the more you get taxed, a higher tax bracket. Well, why in the heck would we want to delay our income in the future to then be taxed later? Now, some people might say, well, this is why I'm doing IRAs or why I have life insurance. And some of you know that I even like life insurance. Here's the problem. Those won't help you retire either. You can never put in enough in a Roth IRA to even make a dent into your retirement. So that's not a good strategy. When you're talking about life insurance in and of itself will not do it for you either. It won't make enough return to save. You couldn't save enough to make that happen. So that alone won't work either. There's got to be something else. There's got to be more of an economic engine. But here's the good thing. Here's what I'm going to tell you that's great. is that you don't have to save $10 or $20 million to retire. See, you have to understand, financial advisors, everybody is teaching you to build up cash. They're teaching you to accumulate. While what I teach you that's different is how to accelerate your money, not accumulate your money. So why do they teach you to accumulate? Let's think about this. Now let's go to really simple. What are the basic rules of a bank? What does the bank want from you, or any financial institution for that matter? Well, first off, we know they want money, right? But let's talk about the five rules with that money. How often do they want your money? They want it as often as possible, right? How much of your money do they want? They want as much of it as possible. How long are you supposed to keep it in there for? You're supposed to keep it in there forever, right? Don't get taxed on it. Keep it in there. Let it accumulate and grow, because that rule of 72 is a miracle. Eighth wonder of the world, which, by the way, Einstein never said that about compound interest. And that's only been quoted by financial advisors and a few people like that. He never said that actual quote. Is not compound interest is not the eighth wonder of the world. So they tell you to keep, put it in there as often as possible, put it in as much as possible, keep it in there for as long as possible. The fourth one, take out as little as possible. They talk about just living off the interest, right? Or pulling off that 3%. And then the fifth one that I've added here that some people don't teach is they want to take as little risk as possible. Banks and financial institutions do not want to take risk. This is why they guarantee that they'll take out guaranteed fees each and every year. Whether you make money or lose money, they're always taking out fees, right? If they really believe that high risk creates high return, they'd say, you know what? If you lose money, we won't get paid. In fact, we'll pay you back. We'll lose money with you. That doesn't ever happen. They will always get their guaranteed money. If they want to take high risk, they put their own money in, which, by the way, they don't. They don't put into high risk things. Or if they do, it's like such a small, tiny percentage that they hardly even notice it if something happens. So banks want your money as often as possible. They want to get as much of it as possible, keep it for as long as possible, give as little back as possible, and take as little risk as possible. Why do they do this? It's because they want to use your money. They love that you only want to live off the interest. They love that you want to pass on to different generations with so you can avoid paying taxes, quote unquote. So then they can keep your money and make more with it. What do banks do with your money? They make more with it, right? Isn't it genius that they're telling you to keep money in those banks, keep them in those institutions forever, if possible, so then they can go and create more cash flow today. Of course, financial institutions want you to keep it in there. They get paid a percentage of what stays under management, right? So they get great leverage because they're making a huge commission, sometimes up to 2 or more% off the money you keep in there. That's the point I'm trying to make here, is that if you follow the money, you follow the self-interest here, you'll find that you're just being sold a bill of goods that helps the banks and institutions and the financial advisors, not you. By the way, I remember asking a financial advisor, I said, in the last 35 years, where have you made more money? In the investments you've been recommending or in your business? And without hesitation, he said, my business. And I said, that's the difference between you and me. You're telling people to invest in things that hasn't worked for you even till now. I'm telling people to invest in things that have worked, which is essentially what's worked for you and me. I'm just the one, only one in integrity here. And he was not happy about that at all. And that's the thing, is that if you really focus on principles and you really start to challenge what you've been taught, it'll frustrate financial advisors to death. They'll try to use jargon, they'll try to use things that out to wow you, or they'll try to outsmart you in some way or make you seem like you're stupid. I'm here to tell you that they're the ones that have been deceived. Plain and simple. Pretty harsh to say, but it's true. And then they're passing that information on. Now, I'm not saying if you've been saving with a financial advisor that it's all doom and gloom, that all hope is lost. And I'm not even saying that these financial advisors are doing it on purpose. I think most financial advisors are doing a very good job, or they want to do a very good job. They want to do what's best for the client. They're doing the best they know how based on the training they've been given by these companies. And so the way out of this is not focusing on accumulating money, because you can't accumulate enough. Instead, focus on acceleration, not accumulation. Focus on cash flow. And so I'll give you an example. I had a client in the Midwest where we weren't even looking at investments. We were looking at what would free up the most cash flow. For him, his best investment was refinancing his home, even though he was 62 years old, refinancing it to a 30-year loan, and then also freeing up the extra cash by paying off a few other loans. because he had business 3 years in a row started to decline, and it started to create more and more stress to the point where he was just paycheck to paycheck each and every week. And so I said, let's do this. We refinance and we pay off these certain loans that produce the most cash flow with the least amount of dollars out of pocket. I have a whole formula that I teach at my events as well as to my clients that shows exactly what order to pay off your loans. And I said, if we pay off these exact loans and refinance your house, we will free up with just $100,000, $50,000 a year. Now, the only place he could get that $100,000 was from his IRA. He had $500,000 in IRA. And I said, well, you know, this is probably the place. And I worked with my investment advisor, and we said, yes, if we can take $100,000 from this IRA, we can actually free up $50,000 a year. It's funny that he said, yeah, but Chris, how am I going to retire? I'm in my 60s. How am I going to retire? And I said, listen, $100,000 of this money only to make $50,000 a year, guaranteed. Like, this is not speculative numbers. This is guaranteed 50% rate of return on your money. Yeah, but how am I going to retire? And finally, his wife came in and said, no, honey, listen, you still have $400,000 in the IRA. We're only using a small piece of it to free up a lot of money. We'll make that money back in 2 years anyways. And then he finally got it. The cool thing is that after that, he started to make extra money in his business because he relaxed. He started to enjoy working instead because he didn't have to work. And he started to free it, you know, from freeing up that money, he actually felt a lot better and actually started making an extra $1,000 to $2,000 a month, depending on the month. In total, he made about an extra $70,000 that year just from that one move. So in reality, he made more than a 50% rate of return from that money. That's awesome. You know, I mentioned other people too. I have one client where they have about, you know, $250,000 to $300,000 in IRA that they inherited. And they're saying, okay, I don't know what we're going to do with this money. And so we started talking about this. And we took a few meetings to really discuss it. And we got to the conclusion that for them, because he worked a normal job, but he wanted to get out of that job eventually. He wanted to find a way to retire. We found a way. We said, listen, let's use this money and do it towards real estate investing. So far, in just this year alone, really the last 6 months, he's been able to buy three properties, or he's in the process of the third one right now. The net cash flow he's producing from these is in the ballpark of about $1,200 to $1,300 a month. The cool thing is he hasn't even used maybe a third of his IRA for that. I mean, he's been able to do this with about $100,000 or less, a little less. Actually, it's under $100,000, closer to $80,000 or $90,000. $80,000 or $90,000 to produce a net cash flow of about $1,200 a month. That's about $14,000 a year, right? Not including tax benefits that he's getting from this, not including that he's also paying down on the loan too, building equity in the property as well, and also depreciating and things like that with his taxes. I mean, he's able to now actually free up taxes at work so he can raise his exemptions, bring home more cash flow every month, increasing his cash flow at home, and be able to use that money and save it and build it to be able to do this again and again and create this wheel where it's like a snowball rolling down the hill and building more and more cash flow as it goes along. That is power. That is awesome. That is cool. You know, by the way, to produce 14,000, like, you know, from that 14,000, almost 15,000 a year, not including tax benefits, if you throw in tax benefits, easily he's probably producing over 20,000 extra a year. In fact, that's probably a very conservative number. So imagine making $20,000 from $80,000, even $90,000, we'll say, right? Most people in an IRA with $90,000, they would hope and pray they make at least a 5, 6, 7% rate of return, right? Especially if they did it consistently, that would be a good net rate of return in a mutual fund. So 5% of $90,000, you know, that's only $4,500 a year. And we're talking about doing with him increasing that overall about $20,000 a year. That's power, and that's awesome. So this is why it's so neat. It's so awesome to see that there's so much possibility. There's so many ways to create more. And by the way, this is just, I'm talking about ways to do it with debt. I talk about with investments. Here's a third way, in your business. So I'll give you this example as well. And this is something that's worked for me. This one applies to me as well, because you have to understand, I retired in 2006 with only a couple thousand dollars in the bank. One thing I did really well is I understood how to create value and do it in a way that didn't require a lot of my time. And do in a way that actually was able to help people create the win-win. I was really good at being someone to connect people together. And a lot of times businesses would pay me a marketing fee or a finder's fee or whatever for bringing people in. I made sure they were quality people. So if I referred people to them, I wouldn't get a bad reputation. And I got, you know, from like certain businesses, I got great great finder's fees and was making $4,000 or $5,000 a month working a few hours a week. That's what I did for me personally. Now, one of my other clients that I had, you know, they we were talking about things we could do, and they had a college savings plan. They were talking about that, and they said, yeah, we want to, hopefully we can give this to our kid. We've got about $50,000 in this 529, this college savings plan, and my kid's going to, you know, be able to, he's going to go to college in about 5 or 6 years. I said, all right, well, that's great. Well, let's look at that. And I said, well, let's project out. If you kept it here accumulating, what would it do? And we figured if it got a good 6% rate of return, he'd have about $70,000 or so in the account, and that's it. Not hardly enough with the way that college tuition is going nowadays. So he said, well, how can we make it better? In the course of the conversation, he mentioned, this guy was a chiropractor. He said, you know, hey, I've got it down to a science pretty much that if I open up a new office in about 2 or 3 years, I can sell off for $250,000. Usually it would cost me about $30,000 to $40,000 to start up. But I can pretty much guarantee in 2 or 3 years, I can sell it for $250,000, for $250,000. And I said, that's pretty cool. I'm like, hey, let's play with this for a little bit. What if, and again, I had to get my investment advisor involved with this process as well. I said, what if you decided to use your college savings plan for your son? You'll get the 10% penalty and taxes because you used it early. You didn't use it on college. So you're left with about $30,000 or so. But you use that $30,000 to start a new office. And say it takes 3 years before you're finally able to sell it for $250,000. Well, now from $30,000, you just made $250,000. But hey, your son's not going to college yet. He's still in high school at this point. So you did it again. You took $30,000 of that and then went and started another office. Sold another few years right about the time your son's going to college. Now you've just taken this, you know, $50,000 that became $30,000 or so. And now you've turned around to make it into $500,000. So $70,000, just trying to do the traditional way that every advisor would recommend, or do we use it in your business where you know, especially because he's got it down to a real science, where you know you could make about $500,000 off this money and by the time your kid goes to college, what do you think is the better deal? And you should have heard him. He's like, his mind was just totally blown. He said, "Oh my goodness, that's amazing! Yes, that's what I want. Like that's perfect. That right there is great. That's what I want." I said, wonderful. I'm like, that's my whole point here is that I want you to be able to get the biggest bang for your buck, that you're going to do what creates real wealth today. And he was thrilled. He was on cloud nine and he said, that makes perfect sense. I can't believe I didn't think of it. It seems almost taboo to do it. And I said, that's because the financial advising world has taught you that way. They teach you even touching things like your IRAs, your 401ks to create wealth today is a bad thing. You know, oh, don't do that. No. And, oh, you don't want to take a lot of risks. Don't put it in your business. Do you know how many financial advisors have told my clients not to invest back in their businesses, but to invest with them? Oh, that drives me nuts. And even if they didn't tell them that, they tell me that sometimes in private conversations. And I think you realize who you're talking to, right? You should not be telling me this stuff. But they do. They don't want to have you putting money outside in a place where they don't get paid for. You know, telling people to pay off debt even is not something they get paid for. They don't like to do that too often if it sacrifices their money that they can invest with. This is why this needs to be known. This is why you have to know this and that you have to question what's been taught to you. And that's why I'm trying to empower you right now to make sure you can do that and that you know why and that what's really behind this. So everybody, I mean, that's what we got time for today. I know it's been awesome. I've loved this episode, and I hope you do too. Please share it with others. Don't keep this a secret. This is something that needs to be known right now. Check out Retirement is a Lie on my blog at moneyripples.com. Check that out. Read that. If you like the numbers, especially if you like to prove by the numbers, there you go. It's right there. I'm there with you as well. And so my challenge to you is to stop listening to these people that are self-interested in selling you products. Listen to you, listen to your heart, and listen to what we're talking about here of how you can create real cash flow and real wealth today. That is the message of what we talk about on the Chris Miles Money Show here, how we create that cash flow and how do we make it happen right now. Hey, this is Chris Miles, and I'm telling you this, signing off and telling you to have a great and prosperous week. Talk to you later.